Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. With me today, Greg Wright, Dale Mims, so sit back, grab a drink, and next hour or so, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know. Fellas, I think I might have a slightly different spin. It's the same feelings, but a slightly different spin on the same feeling. I'm not super upset. I think I went into this game, A, not expecting to do well, and I think that we ended up making a few plays that, you know, maybe were unexpected. They kept the game close. But at the bottom line, if we didn't need players like Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, Jarvis Landry, Marshawn Lattimore, and even your starting quarterback, then we wouldn't draft them. We wouldn't spend all this capital. We wouldn't pay them a bunch of money. You simply cannot win unless you have the horses, unless you play in another team without horses, and that was not the case this week. Dale, go ahead and start us off, my man.
Yes, sir. As usual, we want to start off, well, we usually will start off with our drinks, but yeah, we're skipping that this week. And let's start off with our worst player of the game, sponsored by Dave's Loud Ass Truck. And I will give my award to Blake Gillikin for kicking a 29-yard punt with 2:16 left in the game. That's my guy. Craig, who you got?
All right, so I'm going to upset some people real quick. I've been going pretty hard on the LSU fans this week, myself included. I'm an LSU fan, right? But all the LSU fans that are LSU fans and then Saints fans, I've been a little critical of them. So just to keep pissing off LSU fans, Tyrann Mathieu is my worst player of the game. I'm just so disappointed in how he's played this year, and it's not that he wasn't great yesterday. He was bad. He was bad, and they picked on him down the stretch. He's almost completely responsible for that last drive, in my opinion. Tyrann Mathieu, worst player of the game.
Okay. Dave, what about you?
Well, he stole my thunder.
Called it.
Okay. And you had to go and call him first, and so now I'm sitting here with
you. I got a backup one if you want to talk about the honey badger.
Well, you know what? You should have talked to me before this, so I wasn't prepared for a backup. But I'm just going to go a little bit more on the Tyrann Mathieu thing. I'm not going to say that I really followed his career that closely. But, you know, I've always heard that, you know, he was a playmaker and he was, you know. And so when he became available, I didn't think much of it. And I looked at the contract and I said, well, and I heard even the national guys say, man, the Saints got this guy, and Tyrann Mathieu on the back end. And so I started saying, well, you know, I don't have enough information to make a strong opinion. It was somewhere around the Tampa Bay game where I started noticing. I mean, like, man, he better bring a lot of leadership because he doesn't bring strong tackling. He's not a cover guy, you know. And so what does he bring? And now we're seeing, like, not just, well, he doesn't come up and lay the lumber. Somebody mentioned that on that tackle that he, I don't want to say he missed, because our other corner, 21, missed the tackle. When Roby, they were like, well, I think he kind of missed it because he expected Roby to tackle him. He was just going to clean up. I mean, he don't clean up anybody. He's not a guy that he's a guy that runs up to the pile and kind of puts his hand on him. He's not a guy that comes in there and just destroys the pile. So I just don't know. This is two games where he's had a huge, I don't even want to call it a missed tackle. What would you even call that? Because it's not, I mean, it's like it was like a high school kid out there trying to tackle a professional football player. It wasn't even close. Anyway, so I wish I had a secondary so I could have moved on from that. But my problem now is that I do believe that he has become a liability, not the guy we thought he would be. He's becoming a liability, and I don't exactly know who would replace him if we were, you know, maybe a guy like Alante Taylor might start seeing more snaps when he gets healthy. But I don't know. I'm just not impressed.
So we don't beat a dead horse too much. I got two more worst players of the game lined up here. So how about worst player of the game, Marquez Callaway, for tripping on that guy hitting him in the legs on that final play where it's fourth and long and I throw it to him. How can you let yourself get interfered with like that? Of course, there's no flag for it, but how could you let yourself get hit in the legs and tripped on such a pivotal play?
Darn you,
Callaway. Right? For allowing yourself to be interfered with. And my other worst player of the game is Dionte Hardy. Because we replaced him, and that guy scored a touchdown the first time he touched the ball after replacing him.
Boy, my argument has been just completely dismantled. And you know what? I'll give you credit, Craig. I mean, not that you did anything, but
from my couch.
You're right. I mean, like, you end up being right. I mean, Callaway, while he's still not a top three on our roster, right, when those guys aren't available, he still steps up and he's a guy. And I've never said he wasn't this guy. I don't want him in my top three.
Right.
But he did step up and he makes plays when you don't have any other options. And not just catches a few balls. He's actually made a few plays, you know, so credit to him. And it's kind of a shame because you kind of see that he does have some skills, but none of them like make him special. So he's always going to be a guy that you're looking to replace. Right.
Right.
Yep. That's well said. Let's get to the penalties and turnovers. New Orleans was only penalized four times. I thought that was pretty good. Cincinnati was penalized three times. But the Saints didn't turn the ball over, and Cincinnati turned the ball over once. So, you know, we're getting better. We're doing some good things, right? Without turning the ball over, right, Dave?
Well, okay. I'm gonna go. This is what I initially alluded to at the beginning of the show, and I know this is gonna be discouraging. But it's not because we didn't have our players. But here's the thing is we didn't turn the ball over. We didn't have a ton of penalties. We still lost. And I've read stuff, people, oh, we blew this. We didn't blow anything. We played to the best of our capabilities. We got was it the opening punt? Yeah, I guess it would, the guy fumbles, or was it the kickoff?
You know,
I don't remember that far back, and then we turned that into a touchdown. Then we had an improbable play with a rookie in his first touch of his NFL career, first game of his NFL career, turn around and make an outstanding play on a return. I wouldn't necessarily call that a trick play, but it's not a common play. And now you get two touchdowns out of that. That put us in the lead. It helped us play our game as opposed to having to play catch up. And it kept us in the game. But when all was said and done, we didn't turn the ball over. We didn't have a lot of penalties, and we still weren't good enough to beat a good team. And so now, would we have been able to beat like a Carolina that we weren't able to beat early in the season when we had penalties and turnovers? And right. I think we beat a team like that. But when you start talking about the top one-third of the league, you're not going to beat them with Andy Dalton and Callaway and you know, we talked about Kirkwood, and I said jokingly in our group that this was a Kirkwood game. You know, he had to show out to the – well, he did on the level of 50-some-odd plays in the game, not in production. You're just not going to beat good teams with those players. You won't, and I don't even consider it – hey, good effort, guys. And if we had those guys as our regular starters, we'd be looking to replace them.
Yeah. Let's look at our special teams. And like you mentioned before, Dave, we did come up with a fumble recovery to set up the first score. That's great job, special teams. And we saw the debut of Rashid Shaheed returning kicks. He didn't make any mistakes there. He got one punt return, one kickoff return. Blake Gillikin averaged 49 yards on punts. Will Lutz made all his kicks. But like I said, we get to that point where we got to punt the ball, and it's in the fourth quarter. Blake Gillikin, 29-yard punt, 2 minutes left. Craig.
Now, in his defense, how good were the other punts if he averaged almost 50 and he had that 29-yard shank? Exactly, so he must have been killing it before then, but that's just a terrible time. It's the timing of that mistake. It's incredible. Yeah. Just it's one of those things where we're just finding ways to lose at the end, you know? Like, yeah, Dave's right. We shouldn't have been in this game, right? But we were. We were in position to win this game, and we choked it up at the end. Yeah. Despite all the reasons we shouldn't have been, and we were anyway, and we just keep finding ways to do that, whether it's, you know, Minnesota, the referees dragging it away from us, or us giving it away with turnovers, or this.
Yeah, I was really setting up to say, hey, the special teams did not hurt us. They actually made a play, and that was it, you know?
That's how I was. But are they break-even then? Is that a break-even special teams?
I'm not going to... I'm not going to try to say that it was a positive thing, obviously, but who else didn't feel like when he had that bad punt that, like, well, I'd rather have the ball in my hands with a chance to score than give the other team the ball at the 40 and, you know, what was it, like 2 minutes left in the game? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, did we really want to be in a position where they had that ball in that situation with the ability to score and then we don't even get a chance to reply? So I don't know. I kind of felt like maybe that was just my positive spin on it was, hey, well, at least we got the ball and our destiny's in our hands.
Yeah, I'm old school. I prefer to have the ball and the win and the lead and all those things. If I can't have all of it at the same time, I would rather be on defense with a lead than behind with the ball.
Really?
Just me. Yeah, I'd rather have the lead.
I guess it all depends on how good your defense is and how good your offense is, right?
Yeah, I guess. I just something in my brain says if something goes crazy, wild, wrong, at least we still have the lead, whereas opposed to if you're behind and you fumble, it's over. And I guess if you have the lead and you give up a blown coverage, I don't know.
Yeah, how good do you feel about that late in the game, though? Dave?
Well, with our defense, the way playing it is, I don't feel good about anything. I don't feel good about any. We're playing the Cardinals, who are terrible, and I don't even feel good about that. All of my good feelings have been taken from me.
Yeah, were you like confident in the offense late in the game there, Dave?
No. And the thing about it is, I think I have a good understanding of Andy Dalton and his limitations,
right?
And our receivers and their limitations. And I knew that you were not going to make a play downfield unless something insane happened. And so that's exactly what you saw was Kamara for 10 or 12 yards, Kamara for 10 or 12 yards, you know, maybe somebody else for 7 yards. And I'm like, I don't know if we have enough time to get down there. And B, if we do have enough time, that one play, if I'm going to criticize Andy Dalton, I think it was third down. You cannot take the sack there. Yeah. I mean, even if you throw an interception in that situation, you are not converting fourth and 20 or 17 or 20 or whatever it was. I was just like, you can't hold the ball and then pump it. You just have to throw it in the dirt. Mm-hmm. And I was so frustrated by that. It's just, you just have to throw it away. I mean, I'd rather them throw an interception, at least trying to make a play, than turn around and have the ball fourth. And what was it? Do you remember? Fourth and 17, fourth and 20 something after the sack.
That was his first sack he took all game, too.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it goes to show, you know, Craig's offensive line is playing well. You know who I was impressed with again is Hurst. I mean, he kept T-Rex at bay the entire game except for towards in the fourth quarter when they knew that we had to throw the ball. There was a couple of times where I was amazed that he got it out of his hand. I thought T-Rex would get it from the backside, you know, and just slap the ball out of his hand. But, I mean – I don't know. It again, now I'm just going to make another point. When you run, did y'all see the statistic? I think I'll send it in the group.
Yeah,
it's heartbreaking. Yeah.
It's incredible. You know, there's only five teams who've ever won against a team who did everything that we did. Didn't turn the ball over, rush for over 200 yards. It was like 5 and 200 and something another.
Right.
And we added to that total. Yeah. It was 4. We're now 5. Mm-hmm. And it just shows that you just, you know, there are a lot of things that you couldn't have done it any better, and we still didn't win. And I'm sorry, I don't subscribe to we choked it away. I think that sooner or later, good players are going to rise up on you. You could be an average basketball player and play lights out, and at the end of the game, the better player just starts making the shots that he didn't make all game, and you all of a sudden can't get one off. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it was. I don't think we choked. I think we were limited by who we had on the field.
That's
I'll take a moment to applaud Dale and congratulate him for his Cincinnati Bengals to getting the win. I know he was really excited about Burrow and Chase, so good for you, Dale.
What's sad, Dale, is you started this, and you know that as soon as we lost, that Craig is just going to drive it home on you.
terrible.
Son of a bitch.
Hey, we're sending a big shout-out to our new partners over at Sports Talk with Friends. We're going to be teaming up with them to bring you some different personalities and points of view. This season is going to be a lot of fun, so go over to their Facebook group and check them out, Sports Talk with Friends. Well, let's look at the offense, and we had only 162 yards, mostly 162 yards in the air, with Traquan Smith being our top receiver.
That's a bad sign.
43 yards. I mean, yeah. Talk to me about what you saw in the passing game there.
I mean, we rushed for 200 yards. The passing game wasn't our offense. We were going to run the ball. We did it effectively. We should have done it more down the stretch. It's baffling. Before the game started, we were messaging each other, and I said, okay, we rushed for 200 yards today. That's how we win. We don't turn the ball over. You rush for a shit ton of yards. That's how you beat a team that's better than you. But you run the ball, you maintain time of possession, you don't turn it over. Did basically all of that and lost anyway. It's very frustrating.
Well, I'm looking at that possession where we went three and out, and then we had a 29-yard punt. The play selection, you've got Kamara running for 3 yards. Then you got Ingram running for 3 yards. And then we have an incomplete pass to Juwan Johnson. I mean, that's your drop. So I think Pete Carmichael knew he needed to run the ball because he wanted to run clock too. And he did that. We just didn't do it successfully.
Weren't good enough at it when it mattered.
Yeah.
Oh man, I would have liked to see a Taysom Power in that drive. I know we did our poll last week and we said 10 to 15 touches, you know, for Taysom. Right. I think he had 15 plays total, not touches. So I still wonder why we didn't give them a more steady dose of Taysom. It seemed like he was pretty effective running when we did run him. And he did have a couple of passing attempts, which I thought was good to keep them on their toes, you know, make sure they can't tee off on the run. Four attempts. He only completed two of them. I think one of them was thrown away. It's baffling. It's a little frustrating. A couple of offensive things. Taysom didn't get enough touches late. And Shaheed, first play of the game, I think, was wide open for a touchdown, and Dalton misses him on a play designed for a deep shot. And then he has that end around that works wonders, and then we never force him the ball again. Just not in the game plan from then on out. Three quarters plus, and he's not targeted at all. I'm not saying he's great. He's been on the team for a week, but you have to have some. If you've got two plays in the playbook that clearly worked, one of them, you know, he broke the end around is what it is. But that deep ball he was open for, and he's not getting the ball either. So the whole game plan is confusing to me.
Yeah. I would make the argument, Craig, and we don't know, but there's a part of me that believes that he didn't get to the spot, and I think that may have – it doesn't take much for an NFL coach to lose confidence in you if you're already a player that's similar to, you know, Shaheed, where you don't have any skins on the wall. And so I can't help but wonder if the route – because the point is Andy Dalton had released that ball – early. He doesn't have the Jameis Winston ability to release it late and get it to wherever you're going. Yeah. He has to anticipate. And so it made me kind of think that maybe the rookie ran the wrong route, or I don't want to say ran the wrong route, but like didn't get to where he needed to be. And so it just, you're not going to connect on it because Andy Dalton has to throw it early. There's part of me that just doesn't believe there's a trust factor that, and God knows how many routes he didn't run correctly, and you just can't throw it to a guy if you don't know he's going to be where he belongs. So, but the Taysom Hill thing, I completely agree with you. I saw where they were coming with fast guys off the edge, which is how you stop that, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I have to believe that the Saints can counter that with something else. And I'm not sitting here trying to tell you what it is, because the answer to everything isn't to go with seven tackles, you know, or 10 tackles and Taysom Hill. But I just feel like you can't. I mean, we have no other weapons, and they didn't make enough of an effort to run the ball. Maybe they just didn't feel like they can get it done. That's the only thing I can imagine, because how do you have the game that Taysom Hill had and then say, here's something else. I don't feel like the Saints were as creative. If you remember last week, I pointed out how they sent a guy in motion and motioned him back the other way, and Taysom Hill kind of pumped and then took off running. It seemed like they were trying to get the defense to flow one way or what. In this game, it didn't seem like that at all. It didn't seem very creative. So, again, I'm not one to criticize NFL coaches, especially those who've been successful. But, you know, you're always going to be wondering, if they did the opposite thing of what they did, wouldn't it have worked, you know?
Well, I want to talk about that that point, creativity, that you just brought up, because the Saints went 1 of 5 in the red zone. And I'm wondering, was it the lack of creativity, or was it because we're missing players, Dave?
Me?
Yeah. He said Dave.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that part of it. I tend to go back to the original thing. It's like, you don't have receivers that can beat anybody, and you don't have a quarterback that can squeeze it in. So, you know, I think the Saints and Dennis Allen even said it. He's like, hey, we ran the ball well, which gave him a license to be conservative, because how do you argue with a guy who, right, look, we have no receivers and we ran for over 200 yards. Now you want me to pass the ball. But Cincinnati did a good job. I mean, okay, now I'm going to sound super negative, but if you take away, how long was Shaheed's run? You know, so this 200 yards is a little bit inflated when one of them came on a wide receiver. You know, it's essentially a trick play. Your wide receiver reverse.
44 yards.
And how much?
44 yards.
Oh, is that it? I thought it was more like 60.
And without him, they had three other guys average over 5 yards a carry in that game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so the point is still that, you know, Allen felt confident that they could run the ball, and obviously felt not very confident about throwing the ball. And so I mean, the red zone, man, it gets condensed, and you have to have guys who are quick twitch or big or body up, and you have to have a quarterback that get the ball there. But I still remember that play where Callaway caught a ball in the end zone from Andy Dalton, and I'm like, yeah, do that again, you know?
Yep. All right. Well, Craig, let's talk about this O-line, bro. Andy Dalton only sacked once. He ran the heck out of the ball. Tell me what you saw there.
Blitz pickups were real good. Again, clearly there's more communication than early on in the year. We're making adjustments at the line. Ruiz continues to play really well. He had a couple of plays pulling around the side and sprung a couple of good runs. McCoy playing really well. Do we know how bad Pete is hurt? I'm assuming he's hurt for the next 3 years and just never going to count him again. His backup, Lewis Kidd, played all right. He's still very raw, but there's a lot of physicality there. I like him as a prospect. I wish he wasn't starting next week, and it looks like unless Throckmorton comes along, that's what's going to be happening. But Hurst hung in there. Ramchek continues to be inconsistent, but he held up pretty well in pass pro today, or Sunday. I'm like I said, I'm happy with the O-line. They probably are best unit on the team.
Okay. All right, now, is there any other offensive guys y'all wanted to talk about that we hadn't talked about yet?
I mean, aside from Kamara and what didn't happen with Taysom Hill, who else was there to talk about? I mean, no, Shaheed's exciting.
Ingram ran pretty well.
Well, who's that?
Ingram ran pretty well.
Yeah, he played pretty well. I'm there's just a point when it's like you have a team like Cincinnati, they know you're not going to beat them running Mark Ingram in between tackles. I think they felt pretty confident that they would get it back. They fell in the hole. And I swear, you see this so many times, don't you? You're watching a Monday night football game that you don't really have any interest in. This team's not very good going up against a good team. But the not very good team gets a strip fumble touchdown, and they're up. And then they throw a bomb, and it's like, whoa, man, they're up by 17 points. But you know, it's only so much time before the good team starts chipping away, and they beat them at the end of the game. And I feel like that's exactly what happened to us.
Yeah.
I, you know, listen, the good thing about it, we expect to have your Olave's back and your Thomas is back and your Landry's back. And then all of a sudden, things are different. Everything I'm saying now is not so depressive. It's like, hey, we hung in there. We played well. We played good football with guys who just aren't good enough. And when we get the guys who are good enough back, I think we're going to be a better team. Somebody tell me about what happened with Trout.
Troutman. Yeah. Well, when he came into motion, it just collapsed. Right.
What was that? And they said, well, we don't think it's going to be serious today. They said, it's not going to be. I'm like, serious for what? I mean, he was walking and then he fell down. I mean, what kind of injury could that be?
Usually when that happens to me, it's when the bar closes about 2.
Yes.
You know, you're heading back to your car that you shouldn't be driving and
rockets. And let me tell you my experience as an old person. I'm going to the refrigerator. I get a soda. I start walking away. I forget my fork. I turn real quick and my shoulder hurts. So I
mean, don't drink soda. That stuff's poison.
Yeah. Hey, yo, this is T-Pain. You listen to BS and Beer Podcast.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go to our defense. Now, the Saints defense.
They're
ranked number 17 now, and that's down one spot from last week. The sacks, we got 3 sacks. 2 of them were from DeMario Davis. And by the way, just want to bring this up. We talked earlier in the season who's going to lead the team in sacks. And I picked DeMario Davis sacks. And Craig, you made fun of me, but right now he is leading the team with 4 sacks. How do you feel about that?
I didn't make fun of you. I said we were going to be really bad on defense if he does. And look what I fucking called.
I guess maybe you said that. All right. Well, Kaden Ellis also came up with a sack. The run D, they showed up. They helped Mixon to 45 yards rushing. Craig, what did you think overall with the rush defense?
The rush defense is solid. It, you know, we had moments this year that maybe we thought it was real bad. But looking, you know, as we go along, we held Mixon in check pretty well. We actually allow the fewest yards per carry in the NFL, I found out today. Only less than 4 yards a carry, 3.7. So, you know, we're not bad against the run. I think it seems worse because we have these big dashing runs late in games, you know, when the team is trying to lose, because that's apparently what we do now. But, you know, overall, I thought we played a lot better against the run. It's come down to the pass. We played a team with explosive receivers and a good quarterback. The pass rush got there early and couldn't get there late, and we couldn't hold up in the back end. You need a guy like Lattimore when you're playing the Bengals.
You know, I'm going to add to that. We played a lot of too high shell, and so, you know, you're missing that safety in the box. So yeah, you're going to be a little bit leaky when you don't have that extra man to play the run. And, so I think that it is a little bit misleading. And I was going to make another point about the Cincinnati's offense. Watching Walker play. I mean, Walker, you know, for Seattle, he's coming into his own, man. He had a huge day yesterday on Sunday. So, I mean, you know, Seattle's offense is good.
Yes. Defense is terrible.
Well, tell that to Arizona.
Good. Yeah, they even played pretty good last week. Oh, yeah.
Well, Arizona is a whole other story. We'll talk about them in a bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say earlier. When Dave, you were talking about injuries, you were sounding like 2021, Dave. You were talking about, you know, when guys come back and all this kind of stuff. It's the same thing happening over to us again and again and again.
But, you know, with depth, because people are talking, oh, we're supposed to have all this depth, but look at receiver. You know what depth means? That means that, like, Thomas goes down and Callaway steps up and you still play pretty well. Or Olave goes down and you get some deep threat from Hardy. It doesn't mean that your first, second, and third go down and you're still good to go. That's not what depth is. Same thing in a secondary. You can't lose your number one corner, have your number two cornerback still, I feel, a little bit hobbled because he was on the injury report with a knee. And then have, you know, be down a safety. And then, you know, the point is depth only works when, you know, you're just covering for one or two guys, not for your top three guys.
Yeah. Well, let's look at our secondary because that's where the problems are. And we give up multiple big plays. We have a clear pattern throughout the week. You can just go back and look. But this game, Ja'Marr Chase had 7 receptions, 132 yards. I know we're missing Lattimore. Well, Marcus May just coming back. But, man, what is up with the secondary here, Craig?
Well, we had a really cohesive secondary with, you know, proven veterans that have been playing together for years. We replaced everybody. And then one of the guys we replaced got hurt. Adebo was hurt. And now Lattimore is hurt. But now Adebo's back, but he's still kind of banged up. And now Matthew is old and not as good as we were hoping he was going to be. May's playing pretty well. Lattimore was playing excellent while he was there, but now we don't know how long he's going to be out. It's just tough, man. The common denominator for me is that Matthew is playing poorly. I think Adebo played a little bit better this week. He was real rough the week prior. And we need Lattimore back. We need Lattimore back. We need May healthy. We need Adebo to continue to come back into form. And we need to figure out a better way to protect Tyrann Mathieu and let him do more of his in the box, you know, closer to the line playmaking stuff, because putting him back there deep is not helping.
God, dog it. You put him back deep and it's not because he doesn't have the range. But then, I mean, what is he doing near the line of scrimmage that's so amazing? You know,
yeah, it's fair.
I don't know if there's an answer to that.
He's not a punishing run defender. He plays well on the ball, so you know he can make plays on intermediate passing game. You know, some check downs and breakouts stuff like that. But
he has good instincts.
It's tough because he's good instincts. But like you think of an in the box down safety as a fast linebacker. You know, somebody who's going to lay some hits and jar some balls loose. And he's just a Dave's going to hear make a joke about balls being jarred loose. But other than that.
No, I'm not looking for him to be a devastating tackler. I mean, he seems to, like, almost avoid contact. And anytime the ball comes at him, he gets I'm painting with a broad brush. But I've seen him get trucked way too many times. You know, it's not a guy who's even competitive tackling. So, I don't know. I guess that's enough about him.
Okay, well, let's stay with Dave here, and I would like to get a Davenport report here.
All right. Davin report.
Okay. One of the things that we keep talking about, the pass rush. When Cincinnati did hold the ball, we did get a rush on them. Okay. They just adjusted and started throwing the ball pretty quick. So the pass rush wasn't getting to them. We actually, Davenport, as usual, had quite a few pressures, but I'm just repeating myself. And I love Davenport's game, but even that is dwindling because now it feels like he's gotten really heavy. And I think that it may be a situation where the Saints felt like it's better for him to play heavier and stay healthy than it is for him to play faster. And, you know, so I'm just a little, I don't want to say I'm souring on him because I still think he plays well. I still think he does stuff, but he doesn't disengage in the passing game. So he's just a bull rusher. He doesn't have much else outside of the bull rush. And even this year, and y'all correct me if you've seen it, last year, the thing that would get me excited is just how violent he was. Right. And I think that there were times when he would just make a play or two in the game that may not have had anything to do with the ball. He would just truck some guard or something, and that's why I love him, you know? It's just he's so violent. And then this year, I'm not even seeing that, so now I'm looking at him. I think he's more of your stereotypical. He's your left defensive end. He should be paying the left side and let somebody who can get after the passer in a different way. Of course, you got Cam. You can't – I'm not suggesting displace him. But without a Cam, I would move him to left defensive end and let him be the strong side – run stopping guy that bull rushes and get a real pass rush on the right. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you about to bring up Peyton Turner? Because I can bring up
a joke, man. Peyton Turner.
The Peyton Turner report is he was inactive. Yeah. Again. So.
And he didn't miss a tackle the whole game.
Yeah, no missed tackles.
Yeah. Okay. So, but back to Davenport, that Dave. I mean, what are we looking like as far as re-signing him?
Well, okay, so
that's a big thing.
his price is definitely going down. So at what point do you get a guy that's an effective run stop? He's a good player. People, forget about what we gave up for him. It's too late for that. Quit the whining. It's too late. We have this player, and does he make us a better team? At the right price, absolutely. I don't feel like, based on what I'm seeing, that we're ever going to see, maybe he gets, double digit sacks. But I think what we're looking at is a guy who's good for 6 or 8 sacks, plays the run really well, is a really good bull rusher, and does get some pressure on the quarterback. How much is that worth? And as long as it's a reasonable number, I would think. But there's a whole nother dynamic to this, man. If we keep playing like this, the Saints are going to go into rebuilding mode. Even this year, they had to redo it. They keep pushing everybody's contract to get enough money to cover the shortfall. And that means that's one more year on Cam's contract, one more year on Pete's contract, one more year on guys who should be going. Now they're just going to have to, at some point, just if they say, man, this is just, we got to blow it up. The positive I can say on this is that, do you think that this is increasing Sean Payton's value?
Yeah, it should.
Sean Payton took a banged up team like this and won 9 games. Yeah. He leaves, and all of a sudden the Saints can hardly beat anybody.
Yep.
No, I have on good authority from a Cowboys fan I spoke to that they're going to get him for a 4th-round pick. So apparently that's what I was told. So.
All right. I'm going to start guessing.
I'm looking at the edge rushers contracts, and at the top of the market, you got Joey Bosa at $21 million a year. But let's see, like number 10, you got Puna Ford at $7.9 million a year. So are you anywhere within this range?
This is just me based on what I think. I mean, we're looking at more like 12, 14 million range. And is he worth that? I would say yeah.
Okay. So in the $12 million range, we're talking like Bradley Chubb, J.J. Watt. This is where he would be.
Oh, dang.
Neighborhood hanging out in.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. But how long has their contracts? Because now those guys aren't $12 million. They're $20 million a year guys. New contracts should far outpace.
J.J. Watt just changed teams, so he must have a new one.
Probably.
J.J. Watt's not the player he used to be.
No, he's still getting paid more than Davenport should be.
Honestly, I'm no expert on this. Every time I figure numbers out, my feeling is always wrong. Craig, what's his value? But I think your value is going to be based on you don't like him.
For me, I'm with you. He needs, but it's all about the cost. I mean, he's going to require more money to keep than Hendrickson took in Cincinnati, and I still think he's a better player than Davenport. I know Davenport runs the ball, defends the run better, has more pressures or whatever, but you're going to pay him, he's probably going to need 10, and they got Hendrickson for 5.5. I mean, I don't think it's cost-effective. We pulled up the contracts before the show.
Yeah,
and so for second, $5 million a year.
Yeah, 5.8 this year. He's like number 15.
Year, but his average is more like 12, though, isn't it? I mean, there's no way they didn't re-sign him at $5 million a year.
Let's see. He signed $10 million guaranteed. $16 million guaranteed, $10 million signing bonus. That's what he signed.
Holy.
So last year, last year, his cap hit was $12 million. That's looking at base salary. That's what it's looking at. It's not looking at cap hit.
Okay. I
think we got to go cheaper on defensive end. And I think that means that next defensive end whose contract is up doesn't get re-signed. And I think that's Davenport.
Again, if we catch fire, we start off at Arizona, we get our receivers back, we get Lattimore back, and I don't know. At this point, I think we have to finish like 8-3, is it, to get to 9 wins? Wait, no, that can't be right. Seven, what are we?
7-4 gets us to 9 wins.
Okay.
Back B train.
So,
math.
So are we capable of going 7-4 the rest of the way? I mean, it never feels like that when you're losing, but when you're winning, it seems easy, right? It's possible, but we haven't beaten all the teams we should be. So we can look at the schedule and say, oh, we could beat the Raiders. We could beat, you know, the 49ers. I mean, Atlanta beat the 49ers yesterday, so we should be able to be, really?
You can't look at the schedule and say anything.
Right now, all these teams are scheduling homecoming games, and they got New Orleans. They just circling them like, yeah, right here. They rent the hall so they can have the dance and everything. They know.
BS and Beer Media is sponsored by Purple Valley Farms Marijuana. We got that good.
Let's go to our pick'em. Just looking at the standings here. I want to give a big shout out to the Queefers moving up to number 4. And look, Dave right behind them at number 5 there. That's a pretty good job there, Dave. What have you been doing differently this year, Dave?
Winning.
And old Craig, he moved on down. He's number 15. But
there's only 10 teams. Weird.
To make it worse, Craig, now you're getting owned by your little brother. How did that
feel? Oh, shut up. Oh, damn it.
That's right. Quit. That's right. Shout out to Kyle. Moving
on. Quit the Pick'em League. I quit it all.
All right. Let's look at some of these matchups. We got Tampa Bay at Carolina. Tampa Bay is a 10-point favorite. Craig, who you got?
You know, last week we said, oh, I wish Tampa would play somebody. And they lost anyway, and it was awesome. Pittsburgh pulled it off for us. Right. Yeah, go Steelers. Woo! And then we didn't take a break. It doesn't matter. Now, yeah. Okay, well, hopefully they play somebody tough. Oh, no, they're getting the full rebuild, burn the house down. Only team they can beat is us, Panthers. Awesome. Well, fantastic. Buccaneers win by 100 and cover.
Oh, my God.
All right, Dave.
It's funny because it's true.
So frustrating.
Who you got, Dave?
Oh, shoot. Who are we talking about again?
It's Tampa Bay. Minus 10 at Carolina.
Minus 10. Oh, man, come on. I mean, there's no way I could pick Carolina, so I got to pick Tampa Bay. I mean, God. they traded Robbie Anderson to there's Arizona.
Yeah. Cardinals. Yeah, like
guarantee he plays this week too.
The coach kicked him off the sideline, kicked him to the back there.
That's right.
They got a deal done, lickety spit, and he's coming to New Orleans now because he's playing for Arizona. So,
well, Robbie, are we playing in Arizona?
Oh, we are. That's right. That's right. Yep.
At Dale, okay, God.
Well, I will pick Tampa Bay as well. Keep the streak going. We got Atlanta at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a 6-point favorite. Craig, who you got?
Cincinnati covers. Atlanta's a paper tiger. I don't know how they beat San Francisco. I'm completely shocked and shaken. I'm upset to my very core. I hate the Niners, and I hate them so much more that they let me down again against the Falcons. Oh, it's disgusting.
All right.
Bengals. All those LSU guys, right, Dale? All those LSU players are just too good. Isn't that right, Dale? Those by 100.
You saw it. All right, Dave, who you got?
I think I'm upset some people when I tell them Atlanta might be sneaky kind of good, man. So one of the things that most fans don't take into consideration is when a good team plays a bad team and the bad team plays them close, they think, oh, look how close we are. The fact of the matter is, I think, you know, good teams know if we go in here and we just don't screw up, we're going to roll out of here with a win. So let's not, you know, I don't say play too hard. What I mean is let's not take too many chances. Let's play kind of close to the vest. And so I don't know if Cincinnati – I'm going to pick the Falcons. I'm going to go with the Falcons.
Right,
I don't know how good Cincinnati is. Honestly, they could be much better than what they showed.
The line's bad.
All right. I'm going to pick Cincinnati and take those 6 points minus the six, I guess. So let's get to Arizona versus New Orleans. New Orleans is minus seven now. And
whole touchdown. My goodness.
No, that's a turnover ratio. So we're still last place in the NFL. Arizona is plus two in the turnovers. They're like 10th place. The offense ranked 16, defense ranked 12. Greg, what are we seeing here with Arizona?
Well, none of it matters because Kyler Murray can run the ball, and therefore a running quarterback is our kryptonite, and it's all over. Despite them running completely different systems and different offenses and different play calls, a running quarterback is our kryptonite. Right, Dale? Can't be running quarterbacks. Right, Dale?
If this is a fact, it's at Philadelphia.
frankly, I don't love the matchup. It's a short week, just played. We're riddled with injuries, and none of those guys are going to be back this week because it's a short week. We're going to have a miniature bye week after this one. So I think we get a lot of guys back the week after this one. I don't think we get anybody back. Maybe Olave this week. It sounds like he's been cleared at least team doctors, so that's a good sign for him. Okay. I don't love the matchup, man. I think their offense is bad, but they just added DeAndre Hopkins. I know they lost Hollywood Brown, but Hopkins is better than Brown, so that's a net positive for them.
Yeah.
I think they run the ball that well. We should be able to stop the run. Am I talking about anything in particular, or am I just rambling?
I'm just
rambling.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I think it's a bad matchup, but we can run the ball on them. They allow, I think it was fifth most rushing yards per carry against them. It's almost just under 5 yards a carry. 25% of rushing attempts against them go for first downs. So, I mean, you can run on them, and they have a worse run defense than the Bengals did. So if you have the same guys and run the same formula, you run out there and you just try to pound it down their throat, it's a plan that can work. I don't feel good about it.
Okay. Well, I mean, you brought up a good point with the short week. So you know what you're going to get, I believe, from New Orleans, and that's going to be a lot of running the football because, hey, we got to be who we are. So that said, Dave, what are you looking at with this game?
I'm a little bit more optimistic than Craig. I mean, I saw what I saw.
What?
Arizona's not a very good team. I do agree that the running quarterback is the great equalizer. And it has a lot to do with who we get back. I mean, I disagree that I don't think we're in a position where we can say, you know what, let's just roll out what we have this week and then we'll have a bye week, everybody will feel better and we'll start fresh. Well, I mean, at that point, you're 2-6. You know, I mean, so they're going to have, you know, all hands on deck. If you can play, you need to play. So we at least need Olave. We need, you know, Callaway, Smith all become more effective players. You know, Dalton become more effective players with a guy like Olave on the field. Teams have to pay attention to him. He's a playmaker. Without him, you just have no bite. So I'm going Saints. I think the Saints actually have a chance to win this game.
All right, cool. Arizona,
did you tell us what the spread was yet? Did you say what the plus minus was?
Right. Arizona is a 1.5-point favorite at home versus New Orleans in this game.
That's all, huh?
Yeah. So it's early, so the line can move, so you never know.
Well, I'm sure when our injury report comes out on Wednesday or whenever that happens, that'll sway it. Saints, I think the formula's there. You run the football, you play better defense than we have been, and you win that game. I don't know that we're going to do it. I don't feel as confident about this one as I did even about the Bengals last week. So not confident, but I am picking the Saints to win outright.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay, well, I am going to pick the Saints as well this time around.
Do the Cardinals not have any LSU players?
They do. There's
of course they do. Everyone does. I know. I'm joking.
Yeah, there's a defensive lineman that played for LSU for sure. But no, I picked them last week. I picked Cincinnati last week. Cincinnati won. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pick New Orleans this week, and we'll see what happens. Maybe they can prove me right.
I'm confused about what just happened. Both of you guys picked the Saints, and Dave is more optimistic than I am. This is weird. There's some bizarro stuff going on in this studio.
I don't really get you, because going into Cincinnati, Cincinnati's a good team with a lot of weapons, bad matchups. I didn't think the Saints had a chance. On the other hand, this week, you know, I don't see a good team. I mean, I get Hopkins is a very good player, but he hasn't played. The one thing that'll kill me is Robbie Anderson just comes out there, because if he can, he's deep speed, man. He'll come out there and like what just
trade for one play in the playbook. He's just a nine route, and that's it.
They're in the huddle, like, go deep.
Well, he don't actually have to go deep either. Just stay out there, throw the ball to him, and nobody's gonna tackle.
Yeah, right. Just run out there, we'll throw it to you, nobody will tackle you. It'll be fine. It's fine.
Everyone should just run screens against us, because you don't have to throw it far. We'll tackle them anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
It was just my gut. I thought that we could run the ball and that would be enough against Cincinnati. Now I know that running the ball is not enough.
Well, and not turning over the ball is not enough, too. And low penalties is not enough.
Players, everything, man, I said that we needed players to do, we did, and we lost anyway.
It's actually discouraging. But anyway, I think that's all the show that we have for you guys this week. For L Mims, or the California Cajun Craig with the big muscles, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll catch you next week, and we will start turning this ship around. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs and beer@icloud.com.